Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Chof Vov. You will notice that we have a crown shape. This is also labeled as bays. That is in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is the second crown shape that we are seeing. We started this series marking at the end of our previous shiur. These are comments of Rav Tachlifa. And we're dealing with situations that someone had sinned before Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur passed. And the question is, what kind of obligations does one have as a result of Yom Kippur passing? So in our previous shiur, we had mentioned that if someone had been chayav an osham tolui, because he was in violation of a doubtful sin, in other words, he had possibly sinned. Had it been a definite sin, he would have had to bring a korban chatos, a sin offering, but because there is doubt, he has to bring an osham tolui. However, if he didn't bring an osham tolui until Yom Kippur passed, he will then be exempt. In other words, Yom Kippur atones for the need to bring an osham tolui. Now, in the same spirit, Rav Tachlifa's next comment deals with someone that had been obligated, who had violated something that would warrant receiving lashings. And then Yom Kippur went by. What is the din? Will he still get lashed after Yom Kippur or not? The Gemara. V'omar Rav Tachlifa avua d'Rav Huna mishmei d'Rava. Rav Tachlifa quotes Rava, Chayvei Malkius she'ovar alein Yom HaKippurim, someone who had violated a type of offense that is punished by lashing, and Yom Kippur in the meantime went by, Chayovin. They are still bound to the receiving of the lashings. Gemara says, Pshita, this is an obvious point. Maishno mechayve chatos vashamos vadoyin. What is the difference? What would you have thought to be the difference between Chiyuv Malkios, the obligation or the lashing punishment, and one who had been obligated in any other kind of sacrifice other than an Oshem Toloi? Someone who had, let us said, been chayev to bring a Korban Chatos or a Korban Oshem Vadai before Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur went by, they still have to bring their respective sacrifices. Likewise, this person will still be chayev to receive his lashing. So what do I need Rav Tachlifa to tell me something that would appear to be obvious? The Gemara answers, Salko Daito Chamina, without Rav Tachlifa, I wouldn't have come to conclusions regarding lashings from the fact that someone would still be obligated in bringing sacrifices. Hosam Mamoino Hu. There, in the case of sacrifices, it's an issue of the person being penalized by having to lay out money for the purchase of these sacrifices. And since there's a financial issue, the payment to the Beis HaMikdash through his bringing of a korban, so the passage of Yom Kippur does not exonerate one from financial outlay, mamona. Aval hocha de gufahu, but here in the case of the lashings, where it's an issue of a bodily punishment. Amo loi, I would have thought that he is not obligated since Yom Kippur has gone by. Komash mlon, this is what Rav Tachlifa tells us, that even though it's a bodily punishment, nevertheless, Yom Kippur does not relieve him of that of that punishment, and he will need to receive the lashing. The ho anantnan, but have we not learned regarding Yom Kippur and its atonement capacity? It says in the Tanaic source, hoida v'loy hoida, asay v'loy saseh, that Yom Kippur atones for known offenses and for unknown offenses. It atones for one who violated positive commands, v'loy saseh, and one who violated a negative command, including a negative command includes people that are chayav malchus. So that we see that Yom Kippur does atone for that, and he shouldn't need to have malchus afterwards. Lo kashya. Still, there is no contradiction. In other words, this source does not pose a challenge to Rav Tachlifa. Ha de asru bay, ha de lo asru bay. Asru has to do with warning. If he was warned prior to his commission of the offense that if you do this and this, you will receive lashings, then Yom Kippur will not atone. He has to get the lashings because he was warned and violated anyway, willingly. Ha de lo asru bay, the source that says Yom Kippur will atone for loisase, which generally speaking carries with it a penalty of lashings, that is because that's talking about a case where the offender was not warned prior to his offense. As we look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a significant number of these forms, these geometric forms, the volcano shape. Immediately following this shape, the Gemara has printed in parentheses what's called a simen. It's a short way to remember, to introduce, and it's also designed to help you remember what the Gemara will be speaking about. So you can see there are 5 points listed here: Yoledes Mitzur, Nozir Soita, and Be'egla Arufa. Five topics from which the Gemara will raise a repeating question. All kinds of cases, 5 cases, where the issue of Yom Kippur passing will be raised. So that we also have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin that we entitled Nosei Mivneh, where you see the volcano shape featured, and we've noted Elomeato. This is the phrase that you will see in the marking. And what are they? Sidra, a series, shelkushios, of questions. Shenovas, that emerge, questions that come to be, mehakvi'a, from that which we established, the Yom Kippur, mechaperes, alaveros, sheraka, kodesh baruch hu makir. That we mentioned this earlier in the context of the Oshom Tolui. This is a case where a person had possibly violated, but he doesn't know whether he violated. With the passage of Yom Kippur, we say, Yom Kippur atones for that which you don't know about. So we're suggesting that Yom Kippur exonerates someone from the need of bringing that method of atonement, which would have covered a situation where no one really knows whether the offense actually took place, where there's an issue of doubt, where the violation is shrouded in mystery. We say that Yom Kippur has the power to atone for that. And in the case of the Oshem Toloi, which was a sacrifice brought under circumstances of doubt, Yom Kippur frees him from the need of bringing that. If that is true, so then you will see now a series of cases where there is an issue of doubt. Yom Kippur passes, and still the individual needs to bring the means of atonement. That if that's the case, then we have on our hands a series of 5 questions that challenge the premise or the thesis that was laid down up till now regarding Yom Kippur and its ability to free someone from his need for bringing and Osham Toloi. So now let's get into all of the questions, and you'll notice that the Gemara has a very repetitive style to it, both on the question level and also on the answer level. So marking wise, we've tried to convey this feeling by not only the use of the volcano shapes, but also the dashed underline. There's a diagonal dashed underlining each time you'll see She'ovar Oleo Yom HaKippurim in each one of these cases, these upcoming cases. We also are using a double underline with dots in it, and under our Nosei Mivne heading, we indicate Dugmois Shel Korbonos Habos Al Iruim Shirak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Muda Lohem, examples of sacrifices that are being brought to, at this point we'll say, though we'll change this later, to atone for issues that only the Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware of. And we'll see again and again that even though Yom Kippur passes, the need to bring these sacrifices or atonement devices remains. So now the Gemara. Number one, and we've also kept track of the number of the question by a numbering that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text down the page. Elo me'ata simin yoledes mitzor nozir soita be'eglo. These are the five different cases. Sofek yoledes she'avar leo yom ha'kippurim. A woman was in doubt whether she experienced a birth. And a woman who does give birth has to bring a sacrifice. In fact, if there is a doubt concerning a birth, the Torah makes a provision for her to bring a sacrifice as well. Here we have a Sofek Yoledes, an issue of doubt, and Yom Kippur passed by. The halacha should be Lo Taisi, she shouldn't have to bring her sacrificial offering. Dal Kippur Lo Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur should have atoned for this. The chait shein makir bo elo hamokim hu. It is a case of a phenomenon that only the Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware of. Literally, it's a sin that only the Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware of. And yet, what do we know about a Sofek Yoledes that Yom Kippur passes by? The truth is that she has to bring her bird offering, it's called a chatas ha'of, anyway, even though Yom Kippur passes by. Omar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya answers, and you'll notice that this answer also repeats itself, and Rav Hoshaya is the one who, in each case, will be giving this answer. We should say each case except for situation number 5. But in the meantime, Omar of Hoshaya, L'chol Chatosam, the Pasuk speaks about Yom Kippur's atonement capacity by saying it atones for L'chol Chatosam, V'lo L'chol Tum Asam. Not for, it atones for sins, that's the idea of the word Chatosam. It does not cover, it doesn't exonerate one from the need of bringing a sacrifice if the sacrifice is for tum'ah purposes, for having been in a state of ritual impurity. Therefore, she has to bring her chatasov, her bird offering, as the Mishnah indicated, even though Yom Kippur went by. The Gemara asks, Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, Domar Yoledes Chotasi, Michael Amemar. According to Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, the Yoledes, the woman who gives birth, is considered a woman who sins. Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Maseches Nida, that when a woman is in extreme pain she about to give birth, many women swear that they'll never have relations with their husbands again. And that, of course, is a type of oath that she really won't fulfill it. So you have a case of a woman who's sinning by taking a false type of oath. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that women who are giving birth are considered sinners. So According to this approach, Yoledes is an issue of sinning, and yet you see that with the passage of Yom Kippur, she is not exempted from bringing her sacrifice. The Gemara answers, Yoledes kiko maisi korban, the Yoledes, when she brings her sacrifice, her sacrifice is not for atonement. It's true she is a sinner, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and she gets her atonement for having sworn like that through the pain of giving birth. However, the sacrifice she brings, its purpose is lishtaruye, to permit her, ba'achilas kodshim hu, v'lo l'chapora masya, is coming to permit this woman, the child-bearing woman, to now partake of sacrifices, which as a immediately after she gives birth for a period of 40 or 80 days, depending on the gender of the child, she is restricted from eating sacrifices. So the sacrifice the Yoledes brings is a sacrifice to enable her to partake of kodshim. It's not coming for kapora purposes. Her kapora is through the pain of having given birth. And therefore, it is not something that Yom Kippur covers. Yom Kippur covers sacrifices that were brought for atonement purposes and not for some other purpose, as is the case by the Yoledes. Omar Ravashi Afanana Mitanina. We have a Tanaic source that bears this out. The source is three lines, as you can see, it appears in a frame, and it says, Ho'isha Shiesha Leo Chata Soif Sofek, a woman who had been obligated to bring a bird sin offering because of a doubt. The Ovar Olo Yom Kippurim, and Yom Kippur passed by in the meantime. Chayeves Lahavi Lachar Yom HaKippurim. She is still chayev, she's still duty bound to bring the bird offering, the bird sin offering. Nay, Shemachsharto Leochol Bezvochim, because the purpose of this bird offering is to enable her to eat, partake of sacrifices. And therefore, Yom Kippur doesn't exempt her from that need. Elo Me'ato, new question. Sofek mitzora she'ovar olav yom hakipurim lo maisi. A person who was a doubtful mitzora . The issue here is, was he a mitzora or not? And that's called a sofek mitzora, and Yom Kippur goes by, so he should not have to bring the sacrifices that are brought when a mitzora leaves or is healed from his tzaras. The issue of was he a mitzora or not is something that only the Almighty knows. And yet we know that a mitzora, a sofek mitzora that Yom Kippur passed by, he still has to bring his sacrifices. The Gemara answers, Omer of Oshaya, the Pasuk says by Yom Kippur, L'chol chatasam, it atones for sins, V'lo l'chol tumasam, it doesn't exempt from those whose korbanos are generated because of their tumah. Question: V'omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yoinason, Al Shiva Dvorim Negoyim Boyim, and in parentheses, these letters represent the seven items for which the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, afflicts someone with Negoyim because of seven different kinds of offenses. So how can you say that the Mitzora is not in the category of a sinner, but it's his bringing of sacrifices because of Tumah? But here we see that a Mitzora is in the realm of sins. The Gemara answers, Mitzora mi nig'ei ichbarlei. The Mitzora, it attains his atonement because of the sins through his experiencing this skin discoloration, which may very well be painful as well. The chimaisi, And when he brings the sacrifice, lav lecha poramaisi elishteriba chilis kotchimhu, it's not brought for atonement because of his offenses. That's covered by the fact that he experienced the negoyim. The bringing of his sacrifices are to enable him to now partake, after having been a metzora, to partake of sacrifices. Therefore, the type of korban that the Sofek Metzora brings is not an atonement-based korban, but rather a permission-granting korban. And that's why Yom Kippur doesn't cover it. Elo Me'ata. Once again, we ask if it's true that Yom Kippur atones for things that only the Kodesh Baruch Hu knew about. Sofek Nazir. This is a person who had been a Nazir. He had accepted on himself the Nazirite vow, restricting him from wine and Tumas Meis. And there is a Sofek, there is a doubt that arose whether he became Tomei or not. So a Sofek Mitzora, the Nazir, She'avar Olav Yom Kippurim, Lo Laisi Korban, that he should not have to bring the sacrifices that he needs to bring, and we know that he does. Why should he not? Because the ha kippur Yom Kippurim dechet shein makir bo ela mokom hu. Yom Kippur should have covered him, in so far as this is a sin that only the Almighty knows about. Amar Rav Hoshaya. Once again, Rav Hoshaya answers lechol chatosam velo lechol tumasam. Yom Kippur covers sin based offenses, and not tumah problems. And therefore, the Nazir, in this case, who was a Suffolk, whether he became Tomei, who needs to bring sacrifices, he is bringing it to achieve, for the client to achieve Tahara, but not for the purpose of atonement. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Zur ben HaKapor, Diomar Nazir Chotehu, Ma'ikol Emar. According to Rav Elazar ben HaKapor, the Nazir is categorized as a sinner. So, what are you going to say? Here we see that Yom Kippur doesn't exempt him, even though you're dealing with the realm of sin. The Gemara answers, Nazir ki kamaisi korban, the bringing of the sacrifices that a Nazir does, lav l'chapora maisi, he's not bringing the korban for atonement. He is bringing the sacrifice in order to enable him to restart his Nazirus counting. The Nazirus vow obligates a person to observe, if he doesn't say otherwise, 30 days of Nazirus while maintaining a state of Tahara, no exposure or defilement to the dead. So once he had become Tomei, the clock stops, so to speak. And now that he brings his sacrifices, he now can restart the counting of Nazirus Tahara. The Gemara asks, Elo Me'ata, once again, if it's true that Yom Kippur exempts from the need to bring a sacrifice when you're dealing with something that only the Almighty knew about. Safek Sota. Safek Sota is your standard case of a Sota, a woman who is suspected of immorality. In such a case, there is a process whereby she is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and she brings a meal offering, a type of sacrifice, and it helps, we'll say, for without getting into any detail right now, it helps for the solving of the issue of her having possibly committed an act of immorality, intimacy with another man. We're dealing with a married woman who is not allowed to be with another man. So if you have a case of sota, and Yom Kippur passed by before she came to the Beis HaMikdash, well, lo taisi, she should not have to bring her minchas kinos, the meal offering the sota usually brings. The ha kippur lo Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur should have atoned. The chet she'eno makir bo elo hamokom. Here you're dealing with an offense that we don't know whether she violated. Only the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. And yet we know that when even though Yom Kippur passes, she still has to bring her meal offering. Omar Rav Hoshaya. Answer number one. Now, Rav Hoshaya points out, and again, like we've seen already, the same type answer on his part. He says, L'chol chatasam, the pasuk by Yom Kippur mentions that it atones for sins, v'lo l'chol tumasam, and not for issues of defilement. The sota is classified in the Torah as a case of defilement. Abaye says, it is true that Yom Kippur atones for something that only the Almighty knew about. Sota does not fall into that category. Boyel makir boy. The paramour knows as well whether or not there was any sin. So it's not something that only the Almighty knows about. Therefore, it's not covered by Yom Kippur. Rava, number three, a third response regarding the issue of sota. Rava Amar sota kimasya, the sota, when she brings her meal offering, levarer ovoin klasya, it is coming to clarify, to establish whether she sinned or not. It's not coming to atone. It may be pointed out that in addition to the meal offering that she brings, there's also she also drinks of water in the Beis HaMikdash. And if there was guilt, so then she dies, as well as the paramour. And if not, so she walks out healthy and free. That is, in order for the water to be effective, she also has to bring the meal offering. So the meal offering is not brought for atonement, but it's levar ova, to determine whether or not she sinned. Number five, elo me'ata, eglo arufa, she'ovar lo yom kippurim. Eglo arufa is a ritual whereby if a murder victim is found between two cities, the closer of the city, the closer city to the found corpse needs to bring a calf whose neck is broken. And this atones for the murder, of course, in a case where we don't know who the murderer was. The assumption being that he came from the city closer to the corpse. So that the Egla Rufa is brought under circumstances that no one knows other than the Almighty who committed the murder. And yet, if Yom Kippur passes by, the Egla Rufa ceremony still must take place. To answer this, in other words, and we have to justify the fact that Yom Kippur does exempt from the Oshem Tolui obligation, which is a Chet Shelo Noda Elo Lamokom, and Yom Kippur does not exempt from the need for bringing the Egla Rufa, which, technically speaking, is not a sacrifice, but it is a required ritual. And yet, Yom Kippur does not exempt them. The Gemara answers. You have here a couple of answers. Three answers will follow. Number one, Omar Abai Hoireg Makir. The murderer knows. So that it's not accurate to say that this is something that only the Almighty knows about, because there's a person that knows about it as well, namely the murderer. And therefore, Yom Kippur won't cover it. Number two, Rava Omar, Omar Kro, the Posuk says in Bamidbor Perek Lamine Posuk Lamine Gimel, V'loretz lo yichupar l'dam asher shupach bo, ki'im b'dam shovcho. The Posuk says that when murder takes place, there are only two ways of achieving atonement, to the exclusion of Yom Kippur. The two ways are, well, as long as it's unknown, the Egla Rufa is brought. And when it is known who the murderer is, his execution also serves as an atonement. but the Torah limits the atonement for the case of the unknown murderer, either Egla Rufa, or the execution of the offender, but not Yom Kippur. Rav Papa Omar, a third approach, Omar Kral, Kaper Lam Cho Yisrael, this pasuk makes reference to the atonement for the people of Israel. The pasuk goes on to say, Asher Podiso Hashem. In other words, Kaper Lam Cho Yisrael, Asher Podiso Hashem, that the Egla Rufa comes to atone for the nation of Israel that you redeemed from Egypt. Re'uyo kaporazu shitechaper al yoytzei Mitzrayim. This atonement of the Egla Rufa is fit to atone even for those that left Egypt. Rashi elaborates a bit more. On the second line from the top in the outside column, Rashi occupies both sides of the page. Dichtiv asher podisa, vare kamo yom kippurim ovru alehem. Rashi says, many yom kippurs have passed since they left Egypt. Vadayin hein srifin lechapora zu. And still they need this atonement in nimsa cholo b'neim, if a murder victim was found amongst them. So that the pasuk itself, according to Rav Papa, testifies or demonstrates that Yom Kippur is not effective for atoning for this hideous offense. The Gemara continues, Hashto di amris chet she'en maki bo'elo amoko yom kippur mechaper. Now that we have established that a sin that no one knows about, Yom Kippur atones for, Emo, I would say, Kimisiadale Bosar Yom Kippurim, when he discovers after Yom Kippur that he in fact had sinned, Nami Lo Maisi Chatos. He should not have to bring the Chatos Korban, the sin offering, which is brought when it is known that someone had sinned. And we should be able to argue that Yom Kippur covers him. And yet we know that's not the case. Basically, all we have said till now is that if a person had been obligated to bring an Osham Tolui before Yom Kippur passed, he no longer has to bring an Osham Tolui. But if you're adding that the reason he doesn't have to bring it is because Yom Kippur atones for those sins that only the Almighty knows about, of what consequence is it that it is after Yom Kippur discovered that he sinned? Why does the halacha require him to bring a korban chatos? Is it not so that Yom Kippur atoned for him? Before going further in the Gemara, let us glance at the structural issue here. We have on the outside margin an osei mivneh. You'll notice as the Gemara unfolds, the triangle appears, a series of triangles with colored in tips. One is that which we just read, and on Omid Beis, a few lines from the top, you'll notice a number 2. On the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh, we've explained She'elois, there are questions, She'hameshutaf lahem, common to them is Dechimis Yoda, that when it becomes known that a person sinned, Lo Yavi Chatos, he should not have to bring the sin offering. Our note continues to explain the first question, the triangle number 1. Me'achar Shiyom Kippur Mechaper Al Chet She'ein Makibo Gosh Baruch Hu. Once we're telling you that Yom Kippur atones for those offenses that only the Almighty knew about, the offender himself didn't know, he was in doubt. Emo, let us say, Dechi Misyadale Baser Yom Kippur, Dechata, when he discovers after Yom Kippur that he in fact sinned, Lo Yehei Tzorach Lo Havi Chatos, he should not have to bring a sin offering, and we know otherwise that he does. The diamond shape that will appear in the Gemara with its colored in tip are tshuvos, their answers, l'she'ela hanal, to this particular question regarding the need to bring a korban chatos after Yom Kippur, even though it seemed that Yom Kippur atoned. The second answer will appear at the very top line of Amid Beis. So now we turn to the answer of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zi'ira, Loi Motzis Amris, you cannot say that Yom Kippur will exempt him from the need to bring the Korban Chatas. Dichtiv Kra, the Pasuk says, Yediya, this is a reference to a repeating expression which in the Torah is found in three places. It says, Oy Hoida, where he became aware. And this expression appears Gabi Chatos, Vigabi Nosi, Vigabi Tzibur. There is a Girsa that instead of the word Chatos, you have the word Yochid. In other words, by a private person, by a king, and by the public. The Torah mentions that when a person becomes aware that they sinned, they have to bring a korban chatos. Rashi, in anticipation of the Gemara later on, explains that I don't really need to spell this point out, namely, O hoda elov chatoso, where he became aware of his sin, and spell it out in all three different sections. Private person, king, and tzibor, a situation where the Sanhedrin had issued an erroneous legal ruling, which thereby generates the need for bringing a public sin offering. The Torah could have spelt out this idea of becoming aware, and then that generates the need to bring a sacrifice in two of these sections, and the third section, the third example, could have been figured out on our own. Why does the Torah spell out this idea of O Hoda in each one of these cases? So the reason it does it is the extra O Hoda, the extra expression, the extra case, is telling us that when a person becomes aware that he has sinned, he will have to bring a Korban Chatos under all circumstances, even if Yom Kippur passed by. So it's through the extra expression of Oy Hoida, which the Gemara here says Yediya, it's through that extra case where O Hoda appears that we learn that Yom Kippur does not exempt a person from the Korban Chatos. You'll notice that we have a long bracketed section. The length indicator appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Following the bracketed section, the Gemara will demonstrate how we have an extra phrase, an extra case of O Hoida. That will take place, as we said, after the bracketed section, where what we're saying right now, in an abbreviated way, the Rav Zira said, Dichtiv Kro Yediya, Gabi Yochid, Vigabi Nosi, Vigabi Tzibor, and we have explained that one of those cases is really extra because it could have been figured out from the other two cases, and yet the Torah does spell it out. That is the extra case to tell us that even though Yom Kippur passes, he still will have to bring his Korban Chatos. Hence answering the question of Or responding to the suggestion that Yom Kippur should have exempted a person from needing to bring the Korban Chatos when he discovers after Yom Kippur that he had sinned. In the bracketed section, the Gemara will be raising a challenge to what we are saying. We are saying that one of these sections is extra. Within the brackets, the Gemara will attempt to say that there is nothing extra, and that I need to be told, oy hoida in each case featured, yachid, nasi, and sibor. However, we will show at the end of the bracketed section that that's not really so, that I could have, in fact, figured one from the others. Let us now, before we learn the Gemara, just read some of the notes that we've included here. The bracket note that you find by the double-starred comment. Matras ha-sagrayim, the purpose of these brackets, eino l'shem dilug, it's not for the purpose of skipping, which we usually do when we have a bracketed section, elo l'karev ha-tshuva ha-soifis shel ha-malach l'tchilas dvorav shel Rebbe Zeira. Simply to create create proximity between the final stage of our Gemara to Rabbi Zeiro's comment right now. Shetam tzito, the essence is the yesh yitur lashon, that there is an extra expression in the Torah, which serves to tell us that even though Yom Kippur passes by, that does not exempt one from a chatos obligation. But toich hasograyim, within the bracketed section, yesh nisayon, there is an attempt, the harois, the ein yitur loshon, that nothing is extra, the kulon mitzrich tzrichi, that in each case I need to be told this point, that a korban chatos is brought only when a person becomes aware that he sinned. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Rabbi Zeira had told us that Yom Kippur does not exempt one from the need to bring a chatos, namely that if a person discovers after Yom Kippur that he had in fact sinned, he had definitely sinned, the sin being committed before Yom Kippur, he now has to bring a korban chatos. And how do I know this? Because of an extra expression. The Gemara asks, starting now with the brackets, Hanoch mitzrach tzrichi. There isn't any extra expression. Di kosav kro gabi yochid. Had the Torah said by a private person that you need to have yediya, and without yediya you do not bring a korban chatos, havi amino, I would have thought as follows, kulon miyochid lo ason. I can't learn the others, namely the nasi and tzibur, from yochid. The ikol mifrach, you could repudiate such an attempt by saying mali yochid shekol korbanu nekeva. The yochid, the private person, all types of korbanos that he brings, all sin offerings that he brings, must be feminine in gender. However, the tzibur and nasi at times bring a male sin offering. So it could be that they will bring a chatos even without a yediya ahead of time. Nichtoiv gabi nasi. And by the way, when we say they would bring a sin offering even without a yediya, that would mean that even in the case of doubt, they still might have been thought to be obligated to bring a sin offering. I wouldn't have been able to learn from the case of Yochid that a sin offering is not brought unless there is a yediya, definite knowledge. Continuing in our suggestions, Nichtoiv gabi nasi, v'naisi hanoch minasi, why not state the need for yediya by a king who sins, and learn the others, the Yochid and Tzibur, from the king? The Gemara says, no, I wouldn't have been able to learn from stating the need for yediya by king. Yochid minasi lo osi, the ikol mifrach. I wouldn't be able to learn the private person from the king, because I could have repudiated such a comparison by saying, ma l'nasi shekein ein b'shmias kol. A nasi does not testify in Beis Din, and that's what's referred to by the term Shmias Koil. He doesn't testify, and others don't testify concerning him. Thereby, creating a certain sense of leniency, if you will. Tomar b'yochid shekein yeshno b'shmias koil. Should you be able to say the same thing by a yochid, by a private person, who is someone who is expected to testify and can be testified against? Therefore, it could be that in the case of the yochid, a sin offering will need to be brought even if he doesn't know for sure that he sinned. Vitzibur minosi lo osi. Likewise, the issue of the public sin offering would not be derived from nosi. The ikar lemifrach, because one could challenge such an attempt by saying ma lenosi shikain bikorbanu nekeva. In the case of a nosi, if he did an act of idolatry, he would bring a female goat offering. The public sin offering that we made an allusion to before, they never bring a female offering. Therefore, it could be that by the tzibur, even if there is an issue of doubt, they would still be expected to bring a sin offering. Well, nichtov gabi tzibur. Let the Torah write, in the case of the public sin offering, that you have to have a yediyah beforehand, v'naisi yochid v'nosi mino, and let us derive yochid and nosi from the case of the public sin offering. To that, we also would repudiate and refute this comparison by saying ikar lemifrach. You could challenge that by saying malit sibor shekein ein chayoven elo al helam dover im shigigas maisa. When one speaks about a public sin offering, it is not brought by the mere public violation, but it has to be accompanied by a legal ruling issue. That's helam dover, a mistaken or erroneous legal ruling issued by the Sanhedrin, followed by public violation of based on their erroneous ruling. So maybe only in that case is there the need for a yediyah beforehand. It's a type of leniency, if you will, in the sense that you need to have two factors until the sin offering is generated. However, that is not the case by a nosi nor a private person. Up till now, what have we established? That by having the Torah state the need for definitive knowledge before bringing a sin offering in one case, I wouldn't have been able to figure the two others. Mechado yediya lo asya. From one statement of yediya, the need for knowledge, I couldn't have derived the other two. However, tesi chado yediya mitarti. The Torah, though, could have stated two of these examples, and the third could have been derived. You'll notice we have inserted a Roman numeral number two here. This is we can call it a second stage in getting to what the explanation behind Rabbi Zeiro's point. We have indicated this in our under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where you will notice Roman numerals appear, 1 and 2. These are shlavim, stages, b'divrei Rabbi Zeiro, loseis tshuva l'shelo hanal, in our presenting the answer to the opening question, al yedei nisayon, through our attempts, laharos shiesh yitur kra, we are attempting to show that there really is an extra posuk of oy hoida. Shekosuv eitzel, the word oy hoida, this expression appears eitzel nosi tzibur v'yochid. Shemimenu nilmad, from the extra expression, we will learn dechi misyada lebos yom kippur demaisi chatos, that when a person becomes aware that he had sinned, and his awareness arises after the passage of Yom Kippur, he does have to bring a Korban Chatos. The first stage, which we already learned, equals Lichtov Chad V'Tesi Trei. Let the Torah have written one of these three examples, and the other two could have been derived. Well, we have demonstrated that by stating one, I couldn't have derived the other two. We're now about to embark on stage two, which is the suggestion of Lichtoiv Trei, let the Torah write two of the sections. V'teisi chad, let me learn the hashlishi mehem. This will actually come to fruition, where we will eventually say the Torah could have written two of the parshios, and a third one could have been derived. Why does it write it anyway? It is to communicate this point that even though Yom Kippur passes, when a person becomes aware that he had sinned, he will still have to bring a Korban Chatos, and Yom Kippur does not exempt him. The issue right now is simply, it's a detail, but which third category could have been derived? So the Gemara goes through a number of stages. We are using a squiggle underline here, as we have been using it till now, to show each stage of analysis. So the Gemara continues, Loi nichtev yediyo gabi yochid, let the Torah have remained silent regarding the need for yediyah by the private individual, v'taisi, and let me derive yochid minosi v'tzibor, by having stated the need for yediyah before bringing a sin offering, in the case of a king and the public. The Gemara says, nope, I wouldn't have been able to derive yochid from them. Ikol ha-mifrach, ma le-nosi v'tzibor, shekein einon b'shmias koil. You can't derive yochid from them. They don't serve as witnesses. The nosi does not, and the tzibor does not. Toimar biyochid sheyeshno b'shmias koil. Should you say the same thing that you have to have a yediya when it comes to the private individual? When we know the private individual does serve as a witness. He serves as a witness and can be testified against when necessary. Well, so we see that by stating Nosi and Sibor, I wouldn't have been able to derive the case of the Yochid. Loi nechtoiv kra yediya gabi Sibor. Let the Torah leave out the Parsha of Sibor. The Tesei mi yediya di Yochid v'nosi. And by stating the need to have knowledge of the sin by the case of private offender and king offender, I would have been able to figure out the tzibur as well. Ikol ha-mifrach, this can be repudiated. In other words, I can't derive tzibur from yochid and nosi. Ma liyochid v'nosi shekein yesh b'korbona nekeva. By the yochid and nosi, there is a possibility of bringing a female sin offering. In the case of the Yochid, he always brings a female sin offering. And in the case of the Nosi, even though generally speaking his sin offering is a male goat, in the case of idolatry, he brings a female animal. Toimar b'tzibor, she'ein b'korbonon nekeva. I wouldn't be able to say the same thing by the tzibor, where there is never nekeva brought. And because of this difference, it could be that in the case of Yochid and Nosi, you have to have a yediyah before they bring the Korban Chatos. But when it comes to a public violation, you don't have to have a yediyah beforehand. Now, finally, this will work, this point. That's why it's outside the brackets. Loi nichtoiv gabi Nosi. Let the Torah remain silent with regard to the king and the need to have knowledge that a sin definitely took place before a chatos is brought, but tesim yediyo de yochid v'tzibor, and let me derive nosi from the case of yochid and tzibor. At this point, we have a note to read the girsa in the Rashi. You'll notice there's a starred portion toward the end of the Rashi outside column. Demai parchis, reading in the Rashi, how would you challenge this, namely the absence of Nosi, relying upon the statement by Yochid and Tzibor? How would you try to repudiate that? If you'll say that, well, Yochid, all of his sin offerings must be female. which is not the case by the Nasi. Well, Tzibur yochiach she'ein b'korbona nekeva. Tzibur can undo that difference because the Tzibur doesn't have any female sin offering, and yet you have to have yediya before the bringing of the sin offering. V'i mishum di'eino b'shigigas maisa. And if you'll say, well, the Tzibur doesn't bring a sacrifice unless there was an erroneous legal ruling in addition to the wrongful action. In other words, eino b'shigigas maisa means that through simple wrongful action the tzibur doesn't bring a sacrifice. Well, yochid yochiach the yeshno nami b'shigas maisa. The yochid can disprove that, or can prove the point anyway, because a yochid brings a sin offering without any erroneous legal ruling. And in both cases, yochid and tzibur, you have to have a yediya before you bring the korban chas. You have to be aware that you committed a sin. The same thing then will follow in the case of the king, the nasi. Why does the Torah spell it out? Picking up in the Gemara, after this angular bracketed section, these two lines, we continue in the Gemara. Ad de'is lahon yediya lo mechayev. Until there is yediya, the tzibur and yochid do not bring a korban chatos. Nasi could be derived from that. Lomali dekosav yediya gabi nasi. Why does the Torah spell it out by the nasi as well? After all, we could have learned this point from yochid and tzibur. If in fact I don't need it for the case of the sinning king, to asya miyochid v'tzibur, king could be derived from the case of private person and public. Teneu inyan, then refer the oy hoida posuk by nosi lehecho de misyada lebosi yom kippurim, the maisi chatos, to cover the case where a person discovered that he had sinned, and his discovery takes place after the passage of Yom Kippur, and he nevertheless brings a korban chatos. You'll notice we've dashed underlined this because this is the main point that of our discussion. Abaye Omar, e delo kosiv yediya gabi nasi. Abaye challenges that which we just learned, and he says, had the Torah not written yediya by nasi, I would not have been able to derive the need for yediya by nasi from having stated by yochid and tzibur. The ikol mifrach, I could challenge this comparison. Ma'al yochid v'tzibur shekein ein asuyin lishtanos. Yochid and tzibur don't change. Toimar benasi she'asui lishtanos. Should you say the same thing by Nasi, that he also requires yediya ahead of time, when the Nasi is someone that could undergo change, namely, if he is removed from his throne, from his monarchy, he then becomes like a private individual. So the Nasi has a characteristic that's unlike yochid and tzibur. Therefore, I can't derive nasi from them. The question then is, how do I know that which I was originally looking for, that you need to bring a korban chatos even though Yom Kippur went by? Elo Omar Abaye. Notice the diamond number two. As we mentioned, this is the second answer, second source then, for how do I know that though Yom Kippur goes by, a person will have to bring a sin offering when he discovers that he sinned, even though Yom Kippur passed by. So Abaye answers, Mehocha, Michti, Mitzvus Mitzvus, Yalfi Mehadoti. In these three sections of the Torah, the Yochid, Tzibur, and Nasi, the word mitzvos appears. And we know that we learn through the word comparison, through the Gezeirah Shavah, we learn one topic from the other. Namely, that the sin offering is brought only if there is a violation of that type of sin, that if done knowingly and willingly, would have carried with it a kores penalty. So I know that I learn one topic from the other. Therefore, regarding this as well, I will learn one from the other. The Gemara goes on. Michti, we're reading from the second line again. Michti, mitzvos mitzvos, yalfi mehadodi. Kevan de yalfi mehadodi. Lomali de kosiv, sholosh yidios, gabi yochid, v'gabi nosi, v'gabi tzibor. If I already know through the Gzera Shava mechanism that I learn one topic from the other, we have these three topics and I learn one from the other, why does the Torah have to spell out oy hoida by each one? You could have even stated it by one, and through the Gzera Shava I would have learned the others from it. If I don't really need it for each topic on its own, to ha gamri lahen mitzvahs mitzvahs, because I do have this word comparison, this gzeirah shavah mitzvahs mitzvahs, teneu inyan hechod misyodo leibosu yom kippurim hu demaisi chatos. So the extra expressions of hoida tells me this very point. So Abaye's answer places emphasis on the fact that there is a pre-existing Gzeirah Shavah to tell me I'll learn one from the other. If that be the case, why does the Torah spell out Ohoda by each one of the cases? So there is an extra expression. And from that I learn this point, that with the passage of Yom Kippur, one is not exempted from the need to bring a sin offering. Let's glance, before we go ahead in the Gemara, to the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We have a triangle, and at number two featured, She'elah. The question is as follows. Emo, darak mi shechota veloi noida loi ad lachar yom kippurim, hu deboi lohavi chatos, avomi shekvar hevi osham toli v'noida lo acharkach yepoter mi lohavi chatos. This is a question that we've seen variations on this raised before. The Gemara asks, Emo, regarding a person who sinned before Yom Kippur, let us say, ki, and by the way, this question lasts a number of lines. You'll notice we have a long question indicator here by the number 2, which we already have established represents a question, this 2 in the triangle, and the subsequent vertical descending dashed line. So the Gemara's question, Emo, ki misyada lebosu yom kippurim, hu demaisi chatos, mishum di yom kippurim, lav al hodein chet kaosi. Granted, that Yom Kippur does not exempt a person from bringing a Korban Chatos, because Yom HaKippurim as a Day of Atonement is not focused on this particular sin, so that a person who discovers after the passage of Yom Kippur that in fact he had sinned, he will have to bring the Korban Chatos, and being that Yom Kippur wasn't focused as a means of atonement specifically on this offense, he needs to bring that sacrifice. Avol osham talui. But a case of a person who had brought an osham talui, the al hodein chet ka'asi, the osham talui was brought because a person was in doubt concerning this specific offense. Whatever it is, could be that a person was in doubt whether he ate chalef or whether he consumed blood. So, emo hachinami demechaper, I would think that since he already took measures to atone for this specific sin by bringing the osham toli, the chimis yadele lebosar the komaisi osham toli lo maisi chatos, when he discovers after having brought the Oshem Toli, he should not have to bring a Korban Chatos. Why is it then that the Oshem Toli that a person brings when he discovers that he might have committed an offense, why does that not exempt him from bringing a Korban Chatos? Omar Rova, Omar Kro, Oy Hoida Eilov, Mikomako. The Oy Hoida Eilov tells me regarding the Korban Chatos that under all circumstances, when a person discovers that he sinned, he must bring the Korban Chatos, even though he already brought an Oshem Toluy. The Gemara asks, Hashto diomar ki misyada le maisi chatos, now that you're telling me that when a person discovers that he definitely sinned, Oshem Toluy lo mabo, why do you bring an Oshem Toluy to begin with? A couple of answers to this. Omar Rav Zera, she'im meis, meis below avon. Rabbi Zera says that the Oshem Toluy is effective that if a person should die before he brings the Korban Chatos, he can be then said to have died without a sin, without this sin. Maskif lo Rava. Rava asks on Rabbi Zera's approach, if you are explaining the value of the Oshem Toluy by making reference to a person that dies, well, meis, misa mimarekes, if you're talking about someone that dies, misa mimarekes means cleanses the individual. Elo omar rava. Rava explains what the role of the Oshem Toluy is, lahagein olav min hayisurim. It serves as an interim protection from suffering. Namely, a person became aware that he was involved with a doubtful sin. He brings the Oshem Toluy to serve as a defense against Yisurim, against troubles, until he discovers that he definitely sinned, at which point he will then bring the Korban Chatos. So the Oshem Toluy has that value of an interim protection. Chatos Oif Habola Safek. The Mishnah had said, Im Mishanim Mimuka Noida Law, if after the animal was, the bird was slaughtered, it was then discovered, let us say, that she didn't give birth. Harezu Tikover. So then this bird sin offering that was slaughtered and retroactively see it really wasn't necessary, it is to be buried. Omar Rav V'Kipra. The statement isn't so clear. Rav says it, this bird offering, atones. There's a little number, there's an aleph that we've put in to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, you'll notice a beis. In the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we've written aleph and beis. These are beis lishonos. Ahecho koi divrei rav. What Rav's comment is associated with. Beinyin chatasof habol al hasofek yoledes, regarding a case of a woman who is in doubt whether she gave birth. Umishanim l'ka no dava, and after the bird offering, the sin offering, was slaughtered, it became known to her what really happened with her. So the Gemara, after our hearing Rav saying that the chatas of that was bala sofek atones, ihachi amaiti kover, if it was an effective sacrifice, why is it buried? Answer, lufi she'eno mishtameres. It became puzzle, Rashi explains, through hesechadas. Hesechadas is a phenomenon of a person losing concentration or focus. And if a person loses focus on a korban, it might have become tomei. And that's the reason for its needing to be buried. Well, emas lo mishtameres, at what point was it not being watched? Imeikara, if before it was slaughtered, Chayohavi, it was alive, and things that are alive, animals that are alive, don't absorb Tuma. Ilibasof, if after it was slaughtered, Ha Kominta Lo Kohen, the Kohen would have been watching it. It would have been under his surveillance. So far, Rav's comment and the resultant law here of Tikover don't jive. Elo Masnisin, the Mishnah that spoke about Tikover, Benoda Lo Delo Yolda, where the woman discovered she had not given birth. Skipping the line of in brackets, V'chi Itmar de Rav, and Rav's comment that where he said V'kipra Aho Itmar, it is going on another source. Let's go over the Gemara that we skipped. The beginning of the line, we read Elo Masnisen, the Mishnah that spoke about the burying of the bird sin offering that was brought originally because of doubt. The Mishnah's circumstances are Benoda Lo Delo Yolda. The Mishnah had mentioned that if the bird was slaughtered and then it became known to her, it shall be buried. What became known to her? It became known to her that she had not given birth. Ubedin Hu Demuteris Bahano. Technically speaking, this bird, though you cannot eat it because it didn't receive a standard slaughtering, it received the Beis Hamikdash slaughtering, which is a naping of the neck through the insertion of the Kohen's thumbnail. Outside the Beis Hamikdash or outside the realm of Korbonos, that's not the way to slaughter. You have to slaughter from under the neck with a knife. But here we're speaking about Malika. Bedinhu de Mutaris Bano means that it should be allowed to benefit from, when, of course, not to eat from it, but to sell it, to benefit from it. Because what you have here is a situation of an animal, of a bird offering, that wasn't needed to be brought in the first place. You might ask, well, isn't then this a problem of chulin ba'azora, which is a well-known prohibition? So Rashi explains that the prohibition of chulin ba'azora is only when it comes to the slaughtering, but not when you're dealing with malika. Therefore, there is really no problem other than you can't eat from the bird. It should be allowed to be benefited from. Why then is it buried? Umay tikover? Midrabanan, the tikover that was mentioned in the Mishnah, is a rabbinic law. We want you to bury it out of a rabbinic concern. Rashi explains, they made the gzera, they made their ruling that it's usur to benefit from it, because otherwise people would thought that a real chatasa'of, one is also allowed to benefit from. And that's not true, because a real chatas ha'of is a sacrifice. Continuing in the Gemara, v'chi itmar de Rav, aho itmar. And Rav's comment is going on the following source. Disnan, ho'isha sheheviya chatas ha'of besafek, a woman who had brought the sin offering based on the fact she was in doubt. Maybe she gave birth. Imad shelo nimka noida lo shiolda, if before it's slaughtered, it becomes known she did in fact give birth. Taseno vadai. So bring it now as a vadai chatasof, which a yoledes needs to bring. Shemimin shehi mevia aloi hoida mevia alhoda. From the same type of bird that one needs to bring in the case of loholda, means unknown, the suffix, she would bring anyway when it becomes known, on a case that you do know that there was a birth. if we look in the Rashi, v'chi itmar derav aho itmar, Rav's comment is going on this case, and he says, "Im mishenimlika noda lo kain shielda." If after it was slaughtered, it became known that she did give birth, so vadai maze umotze kemishpat chata saof. Then he does the applications, as you do with a chatos of kidechti vizo midam chatos al kir mizbeach v'nishar b'dam imotzei. So that if after the bird was nimlika, you then discovered that she did give birth, unlike the first lashon, which was a comment on the reisha, which was a case where she discovered she didn't give birth. Here we're saying she discovered that she did give birth after the Malika, so Rav is telling us that you continue the procedure as if you were dealing with a Chatos Ha'of Vadai. We continue now in the Gemara. Ibayalaho. We should point out that Rav's comment of Vikipra, as we saw in the Rashi, is going on the case of discovery that she had given birth after the Malika was done. The source that we just read featured the case of discovery of having given birth before the slaughter was done. Rav's comment is featured now based on the following issue, Ibaya Laho, Mishanim Lakomai. If after the bird was slaughtered, she then discovers that she had in fact given birth, Omar Rav, Maze Doma Umoitse Doma, Vekipra, Umuteres Bachila. Maze and Motse are the sprinkling of the blood and the application of the blood at close range by pressing the neck of the bird on the wall of the Mizbeach. Since we're dealing with a Chatasof, two methods of blood application are needed. That's Hazah and Mitzui. So Rav is saying you do both of those things, and she receives her Kapora through that, her atonement, if you will, and the bird, Umuteres Bachila. And that's the Kohanim can then eat the bird sin offering. So that Rav's opening comment in this sugya, where he said Vikipra, is going on this case, that it's after the slaughter, it became known that what? That she, yes, gave birth. As opposed to opening of our Gemara, which thought that Rav was a comment on the Mishnah where it said it became known, but the Mishnah there was talking about it became known that she had not given birth. Rav's comment, therefore, is not relevant to that case, but rather relevant to this situation, where after the bird was slaughtered, it became known that she, yes, gave birth. So Rav says, well, then go ahead and do the blood applications and process the bird as would be expected, and it can then be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav and says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asura Bachila, why? Gezeiro Shemo Yomru, people, if they see me eating this bird, people will think that Chatasoif Abo'ala Safek Necheles, that a sin offering bird that is brought in a case of doubt, and it should be pointed out that this was brought initially in a case of doubt, because at the very point that the slaughtering took place, he wasn't aware yet that it was needed. It was just that immediately after the slaughtering that it became known. But Rabbi Yochanan is fearful that people will think that you'll draw conclusions that in general, a chatas of that comes al hasafek can be eaten. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of a double underline. We're going to feature, the Gemara will feature that we have Tanaic sources that support both of these approaches. Toni Levi, Kavase de Rav. Levi, who authored different Tanaic sources, has a source that supports Rav's approach as follows. Chatas ha'ov habo ala sofek, a sin offering, bird, sin offering that comes because of doubtful circumstances, circumstances of doubt, im mishinim l'ko noda shiol davara, if after it its neck was slaughtered, it's after it received malika, it then became known that she did give birth, then maze domo, he sprinkles the blood, umoitze domo, and then presses the neck of the bird against the side of the mizbech, v'kipro, and muteres v'achila. She receives her atonement, and the bird can be eaten as a standard chatasof is eaten. Tanya Kavosei to Rabbi Yochanan. Now we'll feature a Tanaic source that would back up Rabbi Yochanan's approach. But the support to this, you'll see at the end of the, toward the end of the source. Chatasof habala sofek, a chatasof, a sin offering bird that comes because there is a doubt. Imad shelo nimliko noidalo shelo yoda, if prior to the naping of its neck, it becomes known that she did not give birth, so then nothing has physically been done to the bird yet, and we initially was brought, it was purchased because of doubt. The doubt is resolved before anything is done to the bird. Teitzei l'chulin, otimocher l'chaverta. The bird can become a common bird, or it can be sold to a woman who needs to bring a bird offering. If before the bird's neck was naped, it becomes known that she definitely gave birth, so then let this bird that was purchased because of doubt now be used as a definite sin offering, bird offering for a yoledis. The same kind of bird a woman brings when there is doubt, she brings when there is certainty. And now we want to focus on this line, because this is the line where we have the support to Rabbi Yochanan. Im mishanim l'konoda shiyolda, if the bird's neck was naped, and this is a bird that was brought initially because of the need to bring a bird under doubtful circumstances, but now it became known that she gave birth. Asura afilu bahana. One cannot benefit from this bird at all. Sha'al hasafek ba mitchilasa. It was brought initially for safek, doubtful circumstances. Kipra sveka vaholchala. It covered, it accomplished what it needed to do through the malika at a point that still there had been doubt, and it covers that. It covers the case of safek. Rashi adds that since it came to cover the case of safek, it's like a case of loy noida. And in the case of lo noda, so the sin offering, bird sin offering is brought and is buried. And Rabbi Yochanan had said that if after malika was done, it became known that she had given birth, so he said it in fact is forbidden. The Mishnah. Hamafrish shnei sloim la'asham. A person set aside the required amount of money, two silver pieces, for the purchase of a korban asham. The cost of a korban asham is two sloim. V'lokach bohen shnei elim la'asham. And he bought two animals for his asham. He needed only one. Im hoyo echod mehen yofesh dei sloim yikrav la'ashamo. If one of the two animals that he bought was worth two sloim, Yikrav la'ashamal. See, he will offer that as his obligation to bring the asham. V'asheni yire ad sheyistoyev v'yibocher v'yibledomav l'nedava. And the second one is set out to graze till it develops a blemish, at which point in time it can be redeemed through his selling it and using the money to buy a voluntary offering. Lokach bo shnei elim l'chulin, if he used the two sloyim that had been set aside for his purchase of an osham, but he thought that the money was mundane, that's what it means here when he says here lokach ben shnei elim l'chulin. He basically made a mistake. He thought that the money, which was set aside to bring an Asham, he took that money, thought it was chulin, and used it for the purchase of two animals, thinking that he's buying two mundane animals. Echod yofe shnei sloim, v'echod yofe asara zuz. One of the two animals that he bought was worth two sloim. We should point out that when a person does this, he misuses hektish funds, sanctified monies, he is in violation of mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is a type of sin that generates the need for bringing a korban osha mi'ilois. So right now we're dealing with a person that had an original osham obligation, misused the funds. He thereby becomes obligated to bring an osham mi'ilois as well. So we have this guy who bought two elim, thinking that he's buying them for as chulin animals. One of the two, echad was one of them was worth two sloyim. The echad yofe asora zuz. The other one was worth 2.5 sloyim. In one selah there are 4 zuz. A zuz is also referred to as a dinar. So 10 zuz is 2.5 selah. What happens now? Hayofe shtei sloyim, the animal that's worth 2 selah, yikrav la'ashamo. He will bring that as an osham. The hasheni, the animal that's worth 10 zuz, that he brings lemi'ilaso. This will have to be explained later in the Gemara. The Gemara will be raising a question regarding this expression. Another case, echod la'osham ve'echod l'chulin. He took the two zuz that he set aside for his korban osham, and he bought two animals. One he bought as an osham, which he was supposed to do anyway, and the other he bought as chulin, a misappropriation of the funds. Im hoyo shel osham yofe shtei sloyim, if the one he bought as an osham was an animal that was worth 2 sela, yikrav la shamo, he'll use that to fulfill his original osham requirement. He was a person that had an osham obligation, which costs, it's supposed to cost 2 selah. So he bought, maybe he got a good deal over here, he got two animals, one of which was worth the required 2 selah. So he uses that for his korban osham. And it should be pointed out that of the 2 sloyim that he set aside, the 1 selah that he used for purchasing an osham was a correct thing to do by way of he used it for hektish purposes as it was originally designed. Now, the hasheni, the second animal, namely the animal that he bought with the second selah, Vasheni lemi'iloso. That second animal will be used for his osham mi'ila. Mi'iloso means his osham mi'ila, because the second sela that he used to purchase an animal thinking that it's chulin was a misappropriation of the funds, generating a mi'ila, an osham mi'ila obligation. V'yavi imo sela v'chumsha. And in addition to bringing that sacrifice, he has to pay the Beis HaMikdash a sela and a fifth. The need to compensate the Beis HaMikdash is generated by the fact that someone used, misappropriated Hekdash funds, so then you have to compensate Beis HaMikdash for it. It's like we can say paying back stolen goods. How does one compensate Hekdash? By paying principal plus a fifth. The Gemara starts a question. This is a long question. You'll see that it takes us till the top of the next Amud of Chof Zayin Amud Aleph. Before learning the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. The diamond is used to highlight the word Mi'iloso. Al HaGemara Lefaresh Mashmois Milozu. The Gemara will have to explain what is the meaning of this word, Gizelo. Does the word mi'ilasa mean the financial payment, the need to compensate the Beis HaMikdash? Or is it a reference to the asham? It's a type of sin offering, an asham mi'ila, that a person is obligated to bring when he is in violation of mi'ila. Generally speaking, but you'll see an exception in this Gemara, generally speaking, in addition to bringing the asham mi'ila, you also have to compensate the Beis HaMikdash. You evaluate how much he misappropriated, and he pays that as the principal plus a fifth. The Gemara, my mi'iloso dekotoni reisha v'hasheni lemi'iloso. What is the meaning of the word mi'iloso that was used in the reisha? We have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you go up a couple of lines, you'll see a parallel arrow, and on that line it had mentioned that if he bought two animals using the two hektish sloyim, and he bought two of them thinking they were chulin, one of the two was worth two sela. And don't forget, we're talking about someone who needed to bring in osham at the outset. One of them was worth two sloyim, and the other was worth 2.5 sloyim, which the Mishnah calls asara zuz. What does mi'iloso that is stated in the ratio where it says vasheni mi'iloso, what does that mean? In lemo el osham. That's what we call the osham mi'ilos, the sacrifice brought when someone violates mi'ila. We're talking about the animal that's worth 2.5 zuz. A half zuz, by the way, is a fifth of 2.5. So if hasheni lemi'iloso, mi'iloso would mean the el osham lemeimra, are you suggesting the chomesh bahadi ayil ma'isila, the fifth that is paid in addition to the principal value of misappropriation is the fifth paid up through or attached to the korban, the osham mi'ilos that a person brings? We should point out an osham mi'ilos is a korban osham that has to have a value of 2 sela. So here we have an animal that's worth 2.5 sela. So if mi'iloso means the osham mi'ila, then you're basically saying that the fifth that needs to be added is added in the osham mi'ila that he brings. Is that really so? The Hoksiv, now this marking, this volcano shape, are kushos, or challenges to this hesber. Two objections. Number one, v'hoksiv, v'es asher choto min ha-kodesh yishalem, v'es chamish yisoyer, seif alov. Pasuk says that which he misappropriated from Hegdish, you must pay back, that's the principle, and add a fifth. Alma bahadik zelo ma'isilei. You see from here that the fifth is added to the compensation that one makes to the Beis HaMikdash, and not to the korban osham mi'ila. The oid katoni seifa. the Seifa, which was section Gimel of our Mishnah. It said there, Echad Lashav Echad L'chulin, where he bought two animals using the Hektish funds. One he used for Hektish, and the other one he used thinking it's Chulin. Im Hoya Shaloshim Yofesh Te Sloyim Yikrav Lashamo Vasheni L'milaso V'yovi Imo Sela V'chumsha. From the Seifa, it's very clear that one animal is brought, is going to be used for his original Osham obligation. The second one is going to be used for his Osham Me'ilos, and the payback is made as a separate payment, where it says, Yovi Imo Sela V'chumsha. He misappropriated a Sela. So he's going to compensate the Beis HaMikdash by paying a Sela and a fifth. Almo Choymish Bahadi Gzelo Maisila. You see from here that the adding of the fifth is to the money that's used to compensate the Beis HaMikdash and not as an additional value to the Korban Oshem Mi'ila. Elomai mi'iloso. So what does mi'iloso of the resha mean? De ishani mehegdish shtei sloyim daf rishenu la'osham v'lokach b'hem shnei elim l'chulin. The resha case was someone who had set aside two sela for the purpose of buying a korban osham that he was obligated in. He took the money and bought two animals for chulin. The yofesh shtei sloyim makriv le'el osham, the one of them that happened to be worth two sloyim, he brings that as an osham because he was in violation of mi'ila. The yofah sora zuz yoyev le lemai dishani mehegdish. The animal that's worth 2.5, he gives that to the Beis HaMikdash's compensation for that which he benefited. The Havi Leigzelo V'chumsho Umay Mi'iloso. And then what is the meaning of Mi'ila if we take this approach? Gzelo. It's his compensation. Well, B'mai ukimta l'milah sa d'resha. So how are we explaining the word mi'ilah in the resha? Gazelo. His means of compensating. Emo seifa. Let us then state the third case of the Mishnah. Echad l'ashem v'echad l'chulin. He took the money and used one of the coins to buy an ashem and the other for chulin. If one of them was worth two sloyim, he uses that for his original osham obligation. He didn't misappropriate the one sela. If the one sela bought an animal worth two sloyim, so let him use that for his osham, original osham obligation. Vasheni, lemi'iloso. And the second animal will be used for its osham mi'ilos, v'yovi imo sela v'chumsha, and then compensate out of pocket, principal, and a fifth for what he misappropriated, namely a sela and a chomish. Alma, so we see from this seifa, mi'iloso, the word mi'ila, which we, you'll notice we dashed underlined the word l'mi'ila, e'el osham, a reference to the osham mi'ilos itself. So, if we set up everything like this, then what comes out? Resha kori le mi'iloso gizelo. In the resha, the word mi'ila is being used to refer to the compensation to the Beis HaMikdash. And seifa, the use of the word mi'ila, we're now at the very top of Daf Chav Zayin. Kori le mi'iloso e'elosham. The same word mi'iloso is a reference to the El Osham, that's the Korban Osham Mi'ilos. So how can the same word be used for two different things? The Gemara answers, Reisha
Behavi le ayol dezavan keren v'choymish. In the Reisha, where he misappropriated all of the funds, and one of the animals was in fact worth the principal and a fifth. Remember, he misappropriated two sela. One of the animals that he bought was worth two and a half sela. That's the keren v'chomish. So koru le l'me'ilaso gzelo. The word me'ila there is used to refer to the means through which he's going to offer compensation to the Beis HaMikdash. If my understanding is correct, the compensation to the Beis HaMikdash will be, in fact, brought through this korban. So that he's killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. He's going to be bringing his korban, osha me'ilos, that happens to be worth the principal and a fifth more from that which he originally spent. Seifa, however, de lo havi ayel dezavan keren v'choymish. In the seifa, the animal that he bought was not did not exactly correspond to the principal and a fifth. There, the animal will be brought as an osha me'ila, and he'll offer separate compensation to cover the misappropriated funds. So in that case, where it's the ayel that he bought is not the principal and a fifth, korile ayel osha mi'ilaso, the word mi'ila is used as a reference to the ayel osham, to the osha mi'ilos sacrifice, v'yavimo sela v'chumsha, and in addition to that, he'll bring, to compensate Hegdish, he'll bring a sela and a fifth. Before we conclude, let's just glance at the Rashi. At the top line, Umashani in Reisha Dahavi Ayel Vechule, Al Kochoch Tana de Masnis and Hutzruch Lechalik Bishmoisehen Shel Shnei Ashamas Halalu. The Tana has to use the same word as a reference to two different things. Lefi Shoechad Bo Lechoivas Ashamoi Horishon. One of the animals is brought for his original osham requirement, vasheni l'osham ilos, and the second one is being brought because of his misappropriation of the funds. That's a second type of osham, a second obligation of osham. V'fikoch kora le'echod mehem ashamoi, hu le'echod mehem me'iloso. Therefore, one is referred to as his osham, and the other as his mi'ila. Hilkoch, Reisha dehave ayol dezavan keren v'chumshoi. In the Reisha case, where the animal that he bought, the ayol, was in fact the principal plus a fifth, kora es hakorev le'ashomo harishon dehainu gzelo mi'ilaso. What does that mean? Klomar, keren shemoal boi v'chumshoi. The principal and a fifth that he misappropriated. Lodia demashu mevi osham basora zuz. The osham that he's bringing that's worth 10 zuz, namely 2.5 sela. Mishum mi'ila v'chumshahu. Ves hakorev li osham mi'ilos. Koro ashamo. And that which he's bringing because of his misappropriation of the funds, that is called ashamo. That is as far as the Reisha is concerned. So that it comes out, the original asham that he was expected to bring, he in fact is bringing with a fifth in additional value, and with that he is also compensating Hegdish. The animal that he needs to bring as a result of being Moel, that's worth two Sela, and that is called the Osham, that's called Ashamo. Sefer de lo havi ayol de zovan keren v'chomish v'al yofesh shtei sloyim v'keren v'chomish eno oilel asela v'chomish. In the sefer, where the animal that he bought didn't correspond to the principal and a fifth, because the principal and a fifth was only one sela and a fifth. The ein hu ayol korev bishvil tashlume gezel. Also, in the sefer case, the animal was not being brought as payment for his gezela. Ela bishvil el osham. There, it was brought because of the osham ilos that he needs to bring. Koreu miiloso al shem osham miilos. There, the term miiloso is a reference to the basic el osham that he needs to bring because of misappropriating the funds. As far as how he compensates the hektish in the sefer case, that's by his out-of-pocket payment of a sela and a fifth. Once again, this is contrasted with the ratio case, where he is able to compensate hektish by bringing the animal worth 2.5 sela, which will fulfill his original osham obligation, and the additional fifth to cover his payment. So in the ratio case, the animal that's used to compensate there is called mi'ila. And the animal in the ratio that's used to serve as the osham mi'ilos, that's called ashamo. In the sefer, the animal that is used to cover the osham, to serve as the osham mi'ilos, it's referred to as mi'iloso. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.